Off the Ball. GAA.
Hurling traditions, obviously, will maybe smile at that. Kilkenny beat Kildare, but this is a different Kildare. This is a Kildare built on real confidence, real hurling, real belief.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The final whistle
on Off the Ball
with NoviBet. Up to 250% boost on all accas. Download and play today. 18 plus, see gamblingcare.ie.
Right on. Tottenham are safe. Wasn't pretty, but they got the job done.
Yeah, brutal game. Brutal game. First half, no shots on target at all from either side. Neither keeper had anything to do, really for the whole game until we'll come back to that. Well, Kinski at the end there from George's shot. But first half, yeah, nothing in it at all. Tottenham did look like a half threat, I'd say, from set pieces. And obviously, it was like, saying this through the commentary, like it has been the season of the set piece. And that's where Pelinha comes up at the back stick, is a great ball in from Tell towards that back post, and obviously he just heads it off the post, comes back out to him. It's coming out of him so fast, looks like it's nearly behind him as he hits it in with his left foot and just kind of goes over the line before Barry's able to clear it. To be fair, they were the better team in the first half. They showed more intent, they had more possession, they had more efforts towards the goal, I should say. But not a pretty game at all. Everton only showed up in the last, when it went to additional time there, they probably had one opportunity. George came in from the left side on his right foot, beats Pedro Porro, comes in, tries to whip into that far corner. Kinski, to be fair to him, had little to do all game, but like, and for him, especially after what he's been through this season, to come up with a big moment like that and keep his side with the lead is important for him, and obviously important for Tottenham. They're after saving their season, I suppose, and make sure they're in the Premier League next year.
Yeah, and the timing of the goal, obviously, just a couple of minutes before halftime, we spoke about it before the match and even during the game. The first goal was going to be key, where it came from. Was it West Ham who scored first, or was it Tottenham? And it was Tottenham. And West Ham obviously win 3-0, but they scored the three goals in the second half. They never got that pressure on Spurs, like even if they got an early goal against Leeds, just to raise the stakes even higher.
Yeah, and it's an awkward thing going into a game trying not to lose it rather than trying to win something, you know. But to be fair to Tottenham, like especially in that first half, they were the better team. Obviously, there was no cutting edge, top end of the pitch, nothing like that. Not much happening towards actually getting shots off on target. But they definitely looked like a team that weren't going to concede, you know, as if like they weren't just trying to hang on there. And like we know from looking at the Zerbi's teams in the past that he has a proper go. He always has a proper go. Me and you were talking on the way up here after the match that like next year you'd imagine Tottenham will actually be a decent team under De Zerbi. You know, I can't see them finishing bottom half. I think he comes in there, gets the type of personnel he wants in the build, and probably gets a few of them bad eggs out that everyone's kind of saying that are in there. Kind of seeing a bit of that throughout this season, especially under Thomas Frank's reign. I'm sure he'll put his. He's very much an authoritarian as well. It's his way or the highway, you know. So he'd be a bit of a ruthless animal when it comes to the personnel he'll have in there.
Well, also as well, they've no European football. Yeah. They obviously played in the Champions League off the back of winning the Europa League last season. So it's 2 17th place finishes in a row. But he can obviously play more aggressive and high intensity football without European football. But looking at that squad, is there some players he just needs to get like the emotional baggage of the last couple of years where like some of those players just look broken?
Yeah, like listen, they've had horrific luck with injuries. Horrific. And like some big players, like top end of the pitch players as well, you know, like they spend a fortune on the boy from West Ham, I forgot his name now. They spent £50 million on him, I think. He comes out injured, Kulusevski's out injured, Solanke misses huge parts of the season. And to be fair to him, like Richarlison, who done very well for them throughout the campaign and is a good striker when you're in them type of positions, because like, there's a bit of a dog in him, like, you know, he'll run hard and he'll press and he'll do all them things. He plays in his emotions and chaos and anger and stuff, and that's a good thing to have when you're in a bit of a fight. He does he's been really good for them, but he's not good enough for Tottenham Hotspur to really kick on. You know, I'm sure when they signed Richarlison, they were thinking this fella would be alright, third or fourth play striker in the team. He was the man leading the line for the majority of the season this year. So I think injuries definitely went against them. But yeah, like regarding like what's gone on there, and as you said, like the psychological toll, I'm sure that has taken on a lot of the players that have been there for that period. A change is probably necessary. He's going to have to get some of them big names out of there.
Yeah, and he'll have an idea of what kind of player he wants as well. And Romero, all the talk before the match was he was going to be there, he was going to stay back in Argentina, which he's there to do some of his recovery from his knee injury ahead of the World Cup. But I think what put a lot of people off was the fact that he was going to stay back and watch his old club. That kind of pissed a lot of people off.
Yeah, no, I think it's important for him.
Kudos, by the way.
Kudos, yeah, it came into my mind there as well. Yeah.
Kudos to you.
Yeah, yeah. it was important for Romero coming back for how he's perceived, regardless if he's at Tottenham next year or not. So a club looking at him going, he's not even watching his own team play. You know, it looks very, very unprofessional. Now, to be fair to him, when Pellegrini scores the goal, he's on the pitch, he gets out of the stand and he's on the pitch celebrating, he's doing all the right things there as such to make it look as if he cares anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but he's caused a lot of damage. He's caused a lot of damage this year with his Instagram posts and stuff and speaking out against the club. And hasn't been ideal and hasn't helped the cause, you know. And especially because when he's on the pitch then he's unreliable. He's getting sent off, his ill-discipline is too bad. But he's a good player.
Like, he'd probably be one of the best defenders at the World Cup.
100%. And like when all these set pieces were coming in the first half, what I was thinking to myself was, God, they're really risking Romero here. You know, because he's the type of, he's aggressive. Like, he's kind of like that Vidic edge to him when he's attacking corner kicks, where he can be aggressive in their moments. And they were probably lacking that a bit. But yeah, I think he could be one that's going.
Okay, well, let's just talk about, before we finish up, Seamus Coleman. He came on for probably the last 15 minutes, given all the additional time. And yeah, I'd say it's been an emotional week for him. They put out the videos of his last training session when he walked out onto the training ground and walked along and said, and then all of a sudden there was the surprise there of his wife and his kids. And that kind of surprised him and he kind of got emotional about it. But he's been a hell of a servant. You just missed him. By the time you arrived to Saiga Rovers, he had just gone to Everton for the famed 60 grand.
Yeah, well, he played against them obviously when he was at Sligo, and like he was the right back, he was supposed to be the defender, I was the left winger, and I did more defending against him because he was that good, you know. He's obviously that attacking fullback when he was much younger, but an incredible servant, as you said. Like, I watched a bit of the videos myself, found myself getting quite emotional because you know how good of a guy he is as well. You know, there's probably not been a better human being that's played the game. That's literally...
Yeah, that's one thing that came up in all the comments. And I remember a few years ago when they avoided relegation under Frank Lampard, he described Seamus Coleman as like one of the greatest human beings he's ever met. Like, you know.
Yeah, that's the best thing you can be labelled. Yeah. Like, whatever about your footballing ability, for all these huge names in the game to look at you with such like esteem is incredible, just for your character and how you are about the place. He's been remarkable. We've obviously seen how big he is for Ireland. Yeah. You know, I don't think we would have even had a chance of getting into a playoff without his return. I think Heimir Hallgrímsson probably admitted that he was wrong leaving him out early on in the campaign. For his age, like even when he turns up for Ireland playing limited minutes, he's been exceptional. So now an incredible, incredible career at Everton. I'm interested to see where he goes now.
Yeah, where does he go next? Because, you know, there's been a thing in the last few years where certain players that started in the League of Ireland have come back, but I would imagine that there's plenty of clubs in England looking at him, whether it's another Premier League club or maybe a Championship club.
I know we've heard from Hallgrímsson saying he's going to continue playing. Yeah. We haven't heard that from him yet.
No.
I find it hard to see him playing for anyone else. Yeah. I really do. I don't even know. I wouldn't be fully convinced he's fully made up his mind whether he's going to continue.
Well, he's been offered a coaching role there at Everton. Mm. So if he wants to continue playing, maybe he plays another year and then he goes back to Everton as a coach.
Yeah, maybe. You wouldn't know what's going to... Listen, he'll have a job for life at Everton anyway. He'll never be unemployed. He'll never be unemployed, put it that way. But he's... whether he drops down to the Championship to play loads of minutes, I don't know. Championship level is very intense as well, you know. There's lots of games there. It'd be Saturday, Tuesday. It's not really ideal for a 38-year-old. And then if he's going to stay in the Premier League, I'm sure he wants to play. That's why he's leaving Everton. And it's who in the Premier League is going to actually play him a lot.
Maybe Frank Lampard signs him for Coventry.
Maybe, yeah. Not a bad shout there at all.
Just throwing it out there and then he could be part of his coaching team.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure we'll hear from Seamus.
You'd be surprised. You probably won't. Just see him with the Coventry scarf above his head, I'd say, yeah.
The final whistle on Off the Ball with NoviBet. Up to 250% boost on all Accas. Download and play today. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Off the Ball. GAA.
hurling traditions obviously will maybe smile at that. Kilkenny beat Kildare, but this is a different Kildare. This is a Kildare built on real confidence, real hurling, real belief.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.